Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We have a lot to talk about tonight. We've got on special guest, friend of the show, Heather Robinson. She'll be joining us once again tonight, and we're going to talk about the recent Ukraine-Russia controversy, along with Joe Biden and what he is going to do or what he is not going to do about this entire situation. Of course, with Joe Biden's foreign policy track record, you look at what happened in Afghanistan, you look at North Korea once again firing missiles on a weekly basis, things are not going well for the Biden administration. Also, if you include the illegal immigration that has been flooding into our country, this just seems like this could be another disaster on top of what we have already seen. It seems like the world senses America's weakness, and that weakness is Joe Biden and his administration. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
Andrew, I'm doing good. I'm glad to be on, and I'm glad that all of our listeners are tuning in. And as we always say, please feel free to share the broadcast while you have the abilities to share it on your social media platforms, because you never know when big tech is going to come and censor you and kick you off. You know, we're at their mercy sometimes. But other than that, I'm doing fantastic. I'm glad that we have Heather Robinson on with us tonight to help us dissect and discuss the current events, things that are taking place. And one of the things that people are still talking about, Andrew, is Biden's almost two-hour presser that he gave last week. I think it was Wednesday of last week. And I guess he was feeling, he thought he had found his mojo, because man, did he talk. Now, we probably don't know what he was talking about and the things that he was trying to explain, but I mean, he was on a roll. And I'm sure that his people wanted to like shut him down, but it's like, how do we do it? And we know this because we know the next day there was a lot of cleanup on aisle 13 and the State Department over things that he had said. And he himself tried to come out and clean up, but the damage had been done, Andrew. We now know what we've all known for a very long time. And now the American people know, and not just the American people, but our allies, the world now knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's nothing that can be misconstrued here, that Joe Biden is not fit for the office of the presidency. Now, I know that there's probably a huge gasp as to what I just said, but there shouldn't be, because for 4 years, we were told that misinformation of President Trump, when he was actually doing the people's business, when he actually had North Korea in check, had Russia in check, had China in check, had Syria in check, had Iran in check. Now there's no one in check. It's just for each his own, do whatever you want to do, because Joe Biden is not going to stop you. He's not even looking. He's too busy trying to pontificate and make himself appear to be presidential, when in actuality, he's just residential. He has turmoil within his administration with his VP. She doesn't know if she's going or coming. She's firing people left and right, and no one in the media is focusing in on it. She has gone through so many staffers and no one is saying anything. Her latest communications director has a huge kerfuffle with the Hispanic community, but the media is pretending as if though it doesn't exist. Whereas when Trump took office and he was letting people go because they didn't know what they were doing and they shouldn't be there, oh, they talked about it nonstop. I was constantly getting texts and emails from my friends. Oh, who is he firing today? Oh, who is he this? Whereas within the Joe Biden White House, definitely in Kamala's area, people are going left and right, but no one is talking about it. So we now know what we have always known. Joe Biden is not fit. And we can justifiably say it, and we can say it with accuracy, and we can say it by pointing out things that he has done that he has messed up on. Look at Afghanistan, 13 soldiers killed. Why? Because of a failed withdrawal, a withdrawal so that Joe could have a victory run on 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11, the 20th anniversary, but it didn't happen. And then what does he do? He goes back and tries to attack the Afghanistanians, the rogue group, but it ends up killing 10 people, and some of them were children. The media said nothing about it. 10 lives were lost, including babies. That's huge. Well, we'll clean it up by getting them to America. Yeah, but we don't know who they are. We don't know if they hate us or not. Look, the other day, 2 weeks ago, there was a hostage crisis in Texas, Colleyville, Texas. Now, the FBI said that it wasn't about anti-Semitism, that it wasn't against the Jewish people. Of course, the FBI lied, because now we know that to be true, that the person who was holding them hostage was a radical mm-hmm. Islamist, a British national who should not have been in America because he wasn't vetted. But of course, this is part of Joe's policy of letting everybody in, because why can't we let everybody in? America doesn't belong to Americans. It belongs to everybody. Are you serious? Are you crazy? But this is what's in the domain right now. Let everybody in. So now it seems quiet as is kept, but openly looked at, we're somewhat marching to war with Russia. And why? Why? What are we trying to prove? Well, we don't want them to go into Ukraine, because we know how Obama failed Crimea when he let Russia go in there. But what does Ukraine have to do with us? They're not part of NATO. It's a European country. And Europe doesn't seem to care. Germany is looking the other way while they're taking oil from Russia with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Great Britain doesn't seem to care anything about it. Why is America involved in it? Why must we be involved? Well, I guess we're trying to protect Hunter Biden's interests in Ukraine. Because if you recall, Joe Biden had told the Ukrainian president that if you don't take certain people off of an investigation, you're not going to get money that Barack Obama is sending you. Now, all this is out in public domain. But of course, big tech and the media will censor it so that you, the listeners, don't have access. As I said before, please share this on your social media platforms, because this information needs to get out there so that people can make informed decisions, so that people will see that the current government, the current administration is completely corrupt. Tony Bobulinski, if you think back, appeared on Tucker Carlson about a year and a half ago, and he said that there was something shady going on with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, but the media brushed over it. No one knew about it. He gave a full interview. Tony Bobulinski, go Google it, look it up, go to DuckDuckGo. There's your collusion. There's your quid pro quo. So we're going to protect the country and its borders. We can't even protect our own borders. We're letting people come in, and there are over a million illegals that have invaded our country. How are we going to round all of them up? We don't know where they are. Well, we gave them bench warrants. Oh, you did? You gave them a bench warrant, right? Okay. Now, did you guys know, quiet as is kept, that they can use those bench warrants as identification to get on a plane? Yeah, the Biden administration has decided that illegals can use warrants as identification. Meanwhile, when Joe was given his presser, he was talking about pushing a voter's right bill so that everyone would be able to vote. And embedded in that bill was, you don't need ID. Wait a minute. So Americans don't need an ID because it's difficult for them to get one, but illegal aliens can use a bench warrant as an ID. Well, why can't these people who can't get ID use a warrant also? Because I'm sure some of them have records, unfortunately. You see where I'm going with this? It's like what's up is down, what's down is up. We make it easy for illegals, difficult for Americans, and all the excuses in the world for Americans. But yet and still, we're going to march into Ukraine, protect their borders, while we can't protect our borders, because we want to protect Hunter Biden's interests in Ukraine so that he could further his riches for the Biden family. This has got to stop. this has got to stop. And as I think it was the former Secretary of State or Defense, Robert Gates said, Joe Biden has been wrong on every foreign policy issue for the past 40 plus years. Run the tape.
Joe Biden's a man of integrity. Still, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades.
I think he's gotten a lot wrong.
We're talking all through the years as vice president.
He opposed every one of Ronald Reagan's military programs to contest the Soviet Union. He opposed the first Gulf War. That list goes on. Now, I will say that in the Obama administration, he and I obviously had significant differences over Afghanistan. But he and I did agree in our opposition to the intervention in Libya and, frankly, on issues relating to Russia and China.
But do you think he made a mistake in Afghanistan in the way he handled the withdrawal?
Yes.
Do you think he believes he made a mistake?
There you have it. He said it. Joe Biden has been wrong. I didn't say it. He said it. Now, many people will say, oh, don't listen to that. Don't. But he has been wrong. And not only that, during his presser, Joe seemingly gave Russia, Putin, the okay to go into Ukraine. But just don't mess things up. Just a little bit. Just go in just a little bit, if you don't mind. So that it won't look too bad. Run the tape of what he said. Here we go.
Well, I think what you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having to fight about what to do and not do, et cetera.
There you have it. Now you see why I say that he's unfit to be president. His administration is unfit to carry on the people's business. This is not even close to a Mickey Mouse show on the Hill. Ron Klain, the chief of staff, doesn't know what he's doing. He's out trying to clean up things for Joe. And where's Susan Rice? Susan Rice has the ability to go incognito when things go wrong. She did this back when they had the whole kerfuffle in Libya. She disappeared. She claimed, it were people with the tape on YouTube. And then all at once, she disappeared. And then she reappears. So now she has disappeared again, fallen off the radar. But do not doubt she's in the background, stirring the pot, writing down what she thinks should happen, and telling people, don't do this and don't do that. Folks, we're in trouble. When you can no longer trust your government, when your government is right out lying to you in your face on TV, and you have the mainstream media spinning it for them. Now, I know some of them came out after Joe's speech and they were saying, what's going on with Joe? He should have done this. He shouldn't have done this. It's only a ruse. It's pretend. Because this week, they'll be back on the Joe show, singing his praises. This will not end well, as I have always said. It will not end well. Heather, glad you could be with us tonight. What do you think about what we just said?
Well, I think 40 years wrong is quite a record. What can we say? I mean, I respect the office of the presidency, so I've hesitated to be too harsh, but I think our president, unfortunately, is not projecting much strength, and it is very concerning. It seems a miracle to me, honestly, that other countries have not done more and terrorist groups to test this country the past year. And I hesitate to even say it, but I think that he does project a lot of weakness. And I know that there's concern about Russia, but, my understanding is that really that's a complicated situation. I don't think it's a black and white situation with Russia and Ukraine. There are people there who are Russian people who seem to want to be part of Russia. I really don't see where it's our affair either. And I think that we need to really focus, as former President Trump thought, on protecting our country and building it up, and, you know, our population, our people here who are the working class, poorer people here, you know, need a hand up. And I think that should be our focus, you know, and not what's happening in Ukraine personally. So in a nutshell, those are my thoughts, Rob.
And that should be your focus, but yet and still, here we are with them pushing something completely different. And I, for one, don't think, I mean, initially I said, well, we can't, we've got to protect Ukraine. The only reason why we would do it is so that the other countries would see that we're not allowing this democracy out there to just go down the tubes by this communist nation. But you look at the other European countries, what is Germany doing? What is Great Britain doing? They're sitting back. No, they're giving the United States intel. Oh, well, Russia is planning on setting up a puppet government and they're planning on doing this. Yeah, but what are you doing? They're your neighbors. Why must America step out and send our soldiers, send our sons and daughters there to fight, to protect? What are they doing? And if we do, if we were to do it, Heather, if we were to send our troops there, what you bet that these other countries would attack us and say, that's not fair. Why are you sending troops there? And you got to be gentle on Russia because you know that their army is not that big. We're always criticized. We're first to step up. We're first to say we will protect you. But when we do, look at the pushback that we get. Germany. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You look at Germany. Why isn't Germany buying oil from the U.S.? Why did they decide to buy oil from Russia? Well, Joe Biden gave it the okay. Trump had set it up that they would get oil from us. Why would they go to Russia? And maybe that's the reason why they're not saying anything about Russia going into Ukraine, because they don't want Russia to turn off the oil. But if they do, you can get it from the United States. But we can't get it from the United States because we don't like the United States. They think that they're too powerful. Yeah, but we're protecting Germany. I mean, does any of this make sense?
Well, it's all very complicated, but I'll tell you one basic observation I have, Rob, is our best allies in terms of consistent loyalty, I think, are countries like Great Britain and Israel. These are not countries that ask us to fight their battles for them. You know, we do provide foreign aid to Israel quite a bit. A lot of it is spent right back here in America. Israel buys all its military where from our country. So it comes right back here. And one thing I'm very proud of as a Jewish American and a, you know, whose heart is here in America first, but who loves and cherishes Israel and my Israeli brethren, they've never asked American boys to come down there and die for them. All Israel wants is a secure chance to defend itself, which isn't easy. But I, you know, I'm starting to feel like if people, and this isn't to be judgy because I know there's hardship and suffering all over the world, but I do think actual bodies on the ground, I mean, I don't really, I think America's had enough of that. You know, if people are in need of support to fight for their own freedom and their own security, I think if it's really a clear-cut case of terrible abuse, we should help them fight for themselves. I don't think sending Americans, I think that, you know, we've learned that hard, hard lesson again and again. You know, I mean, what happened to World War II was a travesty. We should have done more to help the Jews of Europe. There were things we could have done short of, you know, we could have bombed the tracks. We could have admitted more refugees. You know, there have been these mistakes in the past, but I also think on the other hand, in recent years, we've done a lot of getting involved in conflicts, foreign entanglements, as our first president, George Washington, said, that were not clear cut. And people did not fully value, you know, the tremendous sacrifices of American life and limb. I just think we should go back to our first president's words of wisdom, guys, you know, beware foreign entanglements. I don't think a war with Russia is advised. And I think that, you know, Biden, you know, I don't think he did such a good job there. Yeah, I think either you're going to put the line in the sand or you're going to stay out of it. I think you know, at the risk of oversimplifying, we've had quite enough of, you know, half fighting conflicts. You know, I mean, if you're not, I don't know, I've been watching, you know, a series recently, The Pacific on HBO, and it's so grueling. Of course, it's a, you know, cinematic representation of what our U.S. troops dealt with in the South Pacific in World War II, fighting a fanatical enemy, that, you know, the Japanese then, who were brainwashed by the emperor and ready to commit hara-kiri. And anyway, the point is that they fought with such unbelievable courage. A full third of them didn't make it, our U.S. soldiers. It was so bloody and grueling and horrendous. But you realize that at least they had the clarity of mission, just, you know, so much young death, but they knew what they were fighting for and they fought to the death. In many cases, they had to, but there wasn't this half measures, you know, there wasn't this, you know, let's sort of kind of fight the war, you know. And I think that in recent years, we've seen that, you know, it sounds harsh, but if you're going to go to war, you got to be prepared to kill and break the enemy's spirit. And, you know, if you don't have a murderous enemy that you really need to fight a war with, and you're not hell-bent on winning that war, I think, you know, you ought to stay out of it.
Heather, what you just said is what one of our guests came on our show and said, Colonel Julie Hall, is that when you go to war, you're going in to break the enemy's spirit. Yeah. You're going in to just stop it right there and then. You're not going in to placate and play, oh, we're going to play with niceties. No, you're going to war.
There's other things you can do to try to help people. You know what I mean? If other people are suffering horribly and you want to let more of those people into the country, you want to try to help them. You want to try to do economic sanctions on somebody who's bullying and committing human rights abuse. I'm all for that. I'm just saying, when you're talking about boots on the ground, I mean, to me, it seems like do that and just have our soldiers in harm's way, losing limbs and, you know, losing lives and not able or allowed to really take off the gloves and fight to win.
Right. And we see that
quite enough of that.
Right.
You know?
Like you said, with sanctions, we can use sanctions. And that's what I think Biden should have been doing, as opposed to waiting. He should have just, okay, let's put on the sanctions right now to let them know we are serious. And the sanctions will get harder. Pull your troops back. Why are your troops there? As opposed to us saying, well, we're going to wait.
I mean, forgive me. I mean, I admit a little ignorance here, guys, and maybe you can, you know, enlighten me. Why is this our problem?
We're all asking that. What, again, as I said earlier, and
I mean, are masses of people being slaughtered like they were in Sudan? We did, you know, we didn't get involved.
Rwanda.
In there.
Look at what happened in Rwanda.
800,000 people. Right. I mean, if we didn't intervene on a humanitarian basis in those horrible conflicts, what is this, a clear-cut case of civilians being targeted and tortured in mass numbers for no reason? And if not, if this is a more complicated kind of internecine power struggle between some of the people in Ukraine and other people in the Ukraine, why is this our problem?
Well, for one, I think that Putin wants to bring back or rebuild the former Soviet Union. Now,
really?
He wants to bring back the Soviet Union. He's trying to reassemble.
A communist, though, Rob? I mean,
yes, he's trying to reassemble, according to some historians. It seems as if that's what he's trying to do. Now, the other thing.
I never thought Putin was a communist. I mean, I know he was originally a KGB guy, but Russia is, I know there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of crime. He's a strong man, but I don't have the impression that he's trying to resurrect communism. He doesn't.
Well, I'm not going to say communism, but to restore old Russia, but he's in control. Now, the other thing, and I'm being facetious, partly facetious, but at the same time, I'm wondering if it's not so that we can protect Hunter Biden's interest. Now, we cannot forego that. We cannot look the other way and not think that some of this has to do with Hunter Biden and the millions of dollars that he got from Ukraine. We can't.
Okay, literally just him. I thought you meant him and people like him who are—
No, literally him. Because remember, he had worked with one of the oligarchs there and was given money. And there was an investigation. And if you recall, Trump got impeached over a phone call because he was saying, I want to look into this. And they impeached him. So why now? Why aren't the Democrats, why is it Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff saying, wait a minute, Mr. President, why are you taking us into Ukraine? Is it to protect your son's interests? Why aren't those questions being raised? And not just from the Democrats. Why aren't Republicans raising those questions? They should be out front and saying, wait a minute, Mr. President, does this have something to do with your son? Because we have no other interest there. People aren't being slaughtered. Nothing is going on. Yes, we want to show that we are a strong country and that we will protect Western civilizations or democracy. But if Germany isn't interested, if Great Britain isn't interested, if any of the other countries in Europe aren't interested, and protecting Ukraine, why are we out front and center? Could it be that this is a ruse to protect Hunter Biden? That is a question that is fair and it should be out there on the table, but Republicans aren't saying anything. Why aren't they? President Trump was impeached over a phone call. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we raising that question? Why are we silent? Why are we afraid to say anything? This is what I'm talking about. And I spoke about this on previous shows, that Republicans have got to be prepared to lead. We have got to start being at the back. We've got to start sitting at the head of our own dinner table and behaving like the cook. We've got to stop it. This makes absolutely no sense. We have got to raise these questions, because if the tables were turned, we know without a doubt, Democrats would be talking about impeaching. And that is exactly what they did with Trump. Not once, but twice. They impeached him over ridiculous nonsense. It is time that we look at Biden. If we take the House back, both houses in 2022, absolutely he should be impeached. That's part of being in the White House.
But you know, Rob,
president. Go ahead.
It's likely to be an illegitimate election we're now here.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
It looks like a Republican sweep.
That was a brilliant pivot. I like it. We're going to talk about that in the second half of the show.
Yeah, things change fast, apparently. And you're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew and special guest Heather Robinson, journalist for the New York Post.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew and our special guest, Heather Robinson of the New York Post. She's on with us to dissect the news and current events. And when we were going to break, Heather brought up something that was rather interesting that I definitely want to talk about. And this also came up during Joe Biden's presser last week when, you know, he was just out there speaking willy-nilly off the cuff And I'm sure that Jen Psaki, Ron Klein, and Susan Rice and all the others were saying, get him off the stage, get him off. But you can't hold Joe back because Joe was going nonstop. But something that Joe said that I thought was rather interesting. Let's play the tape. Roll the tape.
Do you still believe the upcoming election will be fairly conducted and its results will be legitimate?
Well, it all depends on whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to try to alter the outcome of the election.
Does he think, now that these bills haven't been passed, that the 22 midterms won't be legitimate or fair or free?
Let's not conflate issues. We as America cannot afford to allow this blatant erosion of our democracy. Let's not be distracted by the political gamesmanship.
Okay, now, this is 2022, January. Soon will be February. Joe Biden is already talking about the possibility that the 2022 election coming up in November could possibly be illegitimate, could possibly be a fixed election. Now, how, pray tell, would he know that? What does he know that we don't know? What does he know that we didn't know in 2020? Because remember, the Time magazine put out a big expose as to how the Democrat Party, the liberal media, and big tech, along with corporations, colluded together to stop Trump. They also had a few GOPers working with them. Hint, hint, Georgia, quiet as it's kept. But how they got all these people together to stop Trump. They even had different elected officials, different courts, judges to work with them under the auspices that we're trying to protect the election. Now, don't take my word for it. And in this instance, you can go to Google and you can find Time Magazine and Big Tech Stopping Trump. That article is there. They will allow you to look at that article because they're proud of it. They take credit. And look at what we did when we band together. And we didn't let a lot of information for voters to know about so that they could make an informed decision. We kept it out of the public domain. Mainly the information about Hunter Biden and his dealings with Ukraine, his dealings with China, his entire whole laptop, and what's going on with the laptop. All the information that's there, that's completely, I mean, from what I hear from my sources, is that it's a lot of information like that's there that should be out there, and people would have had second reservations about voting for Joe, but they kept all of that out. They kept it completely out. Why did they keep it out? What was it on that laptop that they not want the voters to know about? Instead, they kept it out, kept Joe in the basement, and then, oh, we won. But now, fast forward, 2022, Joe is already saying, I don't know. I don't know about the election of 2022. There's a problem there. There's a possibility that things aren't going right. It makes you wonder. What do you say, Heather?
I think that maybe there have been some efforts over the past year or so to tighten up some of this election security in certain states. I don't know all the details, candidly, but I think that what I was reading today, there are some states, I'm trying to remember which ones, where they have passed some laws, the state legislatures, that they're not going to just send out masses of absentee ballots without those ballots being requested. Apparently, in prior years, you know, including the last presidential election, a lot of people got absentee ballots who in the past had been on the absentee ballot list, regardless of whether they requested them or not. Some people got multiple ballots. So, you know, that's all potentially problematic as far as security and you know, potential for ballot harvesting, which is like when people go around and just pay people for their ballots so that they can stuff them, whatever, you know, vote a certain way. The point is, you know, they've just tightened up the process a little bit to help ensure that it's one person, one vote. I don't see how anyone in their right mind could twist that into, oh, that's disenfranchisement. I mean, if you don't request an absentee ballot, why should you just be sent one? I think that that was a valid thing. That was done. And this is one of the things that the Democrats are objecting to. You know, I wish people would really study the issues and the policies instead of just throw around these incendiary phrases like voter disenfranchisement. You know, the Democrats like to characterize any kind of effort to actually ensure that the person casting the vote is that person as voter disenfranchisement, but that's very manipulative and sneaky. You know, I mean, there's a difference between trying to ensure election security and purposely making it difficult for certain people to vote. I mean, that would be wrong. That would be, you know, a big problem, but I don't see any evidence that that's what the Republicans are doing. I don't think they're, you know, throwing up barriers. They're just requiring basic steps. Like you have to request a ballot. You know, you need to show ID. So yeah. So my understanding is that these are the kinds of reforms that are taking place in some of the states, and the Democrats are already, you know, trying to characterize that as illegitimate. They just want looser voting process, and but that's very ripe for fraud. I think that the Republicans just need to stick to their principles on this.
Well, as I said before, this whole notion that voters are being oppressed or suppressed, they can't go to the polls and vote, it's just that. It doesn't exist. It simply does not exist. And the left wants people to think that it does exist by saying or putting it under the heading of racism. They don't want people to vote. Who out there doesn't have an ID? And it's more than just that. And I wish Republicans would just explain it, keep it simple, and just say, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to steal the election. They're saying that Black people don't have the right to vote. Well, for one, that is disrespectful of Black people, just so that they can't go out and get an ID. And if there are Blacks that can't get an ID, please let us know. We will help you get an ID. The same way the left is allowing illegals to use arrest warrants as IDs. We will help Black people get ID. The other thing that we need to be made aware of is that what they want to do is remove the voting, right, the whole voting from the states and move it to the federal government, so that when candidates run, we can write them a check, regardless of whether or not you support them, but write them a check to support their campaign. That's what it's all about. So we move it here so that we can control it, and we'll tell the states what to do. We also want to move it here so that we can mail out the absentee ballots and voting by mail. We want to be able to do all of that, as opposed to going in to a physical machine and voting. We also want to control the machines. And we want to make certain that George Soros is constantly buying those machines and sending them out to the states so that people can vote, so that we can rig the numbers there as well.
You know,
that's what it's all about. And we also make certain that we can vote perpetuity, just keep voting. It's not just one day, but we'll say vote on Tuesday, but you can vote on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, and a Friday, and you'll just keep voting until the Democrats get the numbers that they want to win. So there's no beginning. There's a beginning, but there's no end. It's just voting perpetuity, just constantly voting. That's what they actually want. And it would work against the Black communities, because you would have other people that are running, and it would move out, dilute the votes of Black people. So you have to be careful what you're asking for, but the Democrats don't care. They just want the power. They want you to think you can't vote. We are at 2022. As I've said before, who here does not have an ID. You have to have an ID to fly on an airplane. You have to have an ID to take the COVID-19 shot. You also have to have an ID now to go into some restaurants. So who doesn't have an ID? What Republicans should do is be smart and say, okay, you want the ID? They can't get an ID? Use the vaccination card as the ID. Boom, cut it off right there. They should say, use the vaccination card. And we're going to put a picture on the vaccination card, because when you go in to get your shot, you have to show ID. You have to. So Republicans need to think. I just gave them a solution right there. And just say, okay, fine. Let's use the vaccination card.
Or how about Republicans start a program to help people who aren't so connected or who are whatever, you know, poorer and don't have access to resources, help them get ID. The Republicans could do that. That would be great. And the other thing I wanted to mention, Rob and Andrew, is that the other story I read today, some of what the Democratic leadership is characterizing is illegitimate, is that it'll be Republicans in some cases helping to count the votes. Like, you know, in some of these states, it was all Democrats counting. So Republicans apparently have passed some legislation to ensure that it's not just one party, you know, that the votes are being counted by representatives of both parties, which how on earth any reasonable person could object to that, I don't know. But that's another thing that's been changed, apparently, in some states. And this is what the Democrat leadership is whining, is disenfranchisement. So,
well, good luck with that, having the Republicans to count the votes, because I'm sure that the Democrats will fight against that. But that is a good idea, that Republicans to set up some type of operation to help individuals get IDs to vote. But I'm sure that the Democrats will fight against that and say, oh, don't go, because they're racist and they don't want you. They're going to try to change the information. The Democrats are only after power. There's no voter suppression. We want everyone to vote. But we also want all of the legally cast votes counted, not votes that are done by illegals, votes whereby, okay, we don't have enough votes, let's go find some votes. Votes found in Aunt Jimmy's, the back of her car or up under the bed, that has got to stop. I mean, and people laugh about that and say, ha, 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 but it shouldn't be happening. The people that are counting the votes should have the utmost integrity. We shouldn't have to question who they are or what they're doing, either on the left or the right. They should take the job seriously and say, we're going in and we're going to do this right. And the fact that the United States of America, the most civilized country out there, Western country, can't get the votes right speaks volume as to who we are and what we're doing. Are we even serious about it? Are we serious about our elections? And I question Republicans also, because we should be looking at this and saying, look, we don't want another 2016 or 2020 to happen in 2022. But now that you have the person at the top casting doubt on the elections, and he's saying, well, I don't know, because if we don't win, we've got a problem. They're already sowing the seeds of discord. And you have a lot of young people out there that don't understand the issues, like you said, Heather, and they should go and understand the election, understand the issues, so that they're not easily deceived by the left. But right now you have all the millennials who are leaning toward the left. They know nothing about anything. And I hate saying this, because some of them are college educated individuals with high school degrees, and they just don't know. They're being fed lies, because it started when they were youngsters. That is the reason why Biden's Build Back Better. In that bill, he wants to offer daycare or pre-care for kids as early as 2, so that they can start the indoctrination. If you don't win, you're not treated fairly. If this doesn't happen, it's because that they don't like you, because it's racism. Everything is racism, and everything is that you're oppressed. If it doesn't work the way you want it to work, it's because you're being oppressed. As opposed to, maybe you just didn't get it right, or maybe people didn't like your position, and that's the reason why they didn't vote for you, or they didn't agree with what you had to say. But the way the Democrats have put it up, no, there's a participation award for everybody. And if you don't get one, it's because they don't like you for some reason, something that you check off. And it all has to do with your identity and nothing with the content of character. Look at how far we've fallen off the grid in bringing up all this stuff that makes absolutely no sense, should not have a bearing as to who we are as a country, who we are as people, as individuals. But everyone is oppressed if it doesn't happen your way. And then you go through and just check the boxes. This is the reason why it didn't happen. So, Ojo, he's setting it up already that if the Democrats don't win, it is because of election fraud. They can say it all day long, but the moment someone on the right says it, oh, no, you can't say that. You can't. We've got to silence you. We've got to censor you. You are not allowed to say it. And it's just not right. Because if we keep this up, we will never have an election whereby people are comfortable with the individuals who won. Though they're always questioning. And who started this? No, look no further than the left, the Democrats. Look at Hillary Clinton. She's still claiming that, oh no, Trump cheated. Look at Stacey Abrams, who's yet to concede the governorship in Georgia. If it wasn't for election fraud, I would be the governor. But what about if you had a decent platform, you would be the governor and people just rejected you? But if they reject the right, we're supposed to accept it. But if you reject the left, how could you reject us? We have the best policies. What do you mean by you have the best policies? With everyone being oppressed and you turn on them with the drop of a dime? So planning that out there and for people not to look at it, and again, the right, they should be on top of this and should be calling it out that it makes absolutely no sense. Simply because we didn't vote for you doesn't mean that I don't like you. I mean, I could possibly don't like you, but I just don't like your platform. But here we are. Here we are. Now, before we close, I just want to go back to one thing, and I want to get your thoughts on this also, Heather. Just going back to Ukraine, and I'm looking here at my notes, and I wanted to mention this, that I would say right now, any American who's listening to this or watching the news, if you're in Ukraine, please evacuate now. Do not wait. Do not tarry, because Joe Biden does not care if you're caught behind enemy lines. Look at what happened in Afghanistan. There are Americans that are still there, and they will remain there until they find a way to bring themselves home. So if you're in Ukraine or in that area where you think that you might be held up, make haste and get out right now. Do not delay. What are your thoughts, Heather and Andrew?
Andrew, you want to jump in?
Yeah, well said, Rob. I completely agree on the American citizens in Ukraine. I hope all the citizens and ambassadors get out of there right away. Because as we've seen before, Joe Biden is not willing to stand up for people that are left behind on enemy lines. What happened in Afghanistan was a disgrace. And there are still, as Rob said, many Americans that are stuck in Afghanistan and have no idea who to get a hold of or how to get out. It just was an utter disaster. And I would not feel good about it if I was in Ukraine right now.
Yeah, I mean, I just... Well, I hesitate to say this, but what the heck, guys? I hope that in this one instance, Joe's wimpiness is a good thing in the sense that I mean, it's pretty hard for me to picture him going to war with anybody. And I don't think we have I don't know if I used that term correct, but I don't think, you know, unless somebody wants to convince me otherwise. If we, you know, could let millions die in Sudan and 800,000 people die in Rwanda and, you know, people be tortured in China and, you know, all kinds of things go on. Listen, I'm not trying to be callous, but the point is we don't generally intervene in conflicts between people, even where I think sometimes, you know, there's a case to be made. On humanitarian grounds. And from, I haven't heard anything that suggests going to war with Russia over the Ukraine would be of vital humanitarian or strategic interest. So the only thing I could cynically imagine, you know, might be driving this would be desire to distract from the failures of the Biden administration. You know, January 6th is all they've got at this point to harp on because the economy's in the tank, the border's basically a mess, COVID is worse than ever, and you know, there's really not been a lot of progress. The only real positive I would say is that things have calmed down internally, as you know, in terms of the rioting, et cetera, because the left got what it wanted. But I think that, yeah, for them to contemplate something like that would be really bold in a stupid way. And I think that they are, you know, I think the hard left is in control and all that. But I'll tell you what, much as I dislike the hard left in many ways, I don't respect them. I think they are, I'm with you, Rob, they're, you know, a grievance industry, they're about power. I don't particularly think that they want war with a foreign country. And I think that, you know, they pretty much have Biden on a leash. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say no war with Russia. And let's hope I'm right.
Just a couple of things here. I want to pick up on what you said. And I agree with you. I hope this is one of the times that Biden is being a wimp and that he does not try. Right. Because that would be good.
Well, wimp is right every so often.
Right. Let's, you know, that would be a good thing.
Some fights you don't need to get into. I mean,
right. That would be good that he just wimps off. And then the other thing you mentioned is that, is this a distraction? Now, that's something huge because you know that they always teased or made that claim of Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. Whenever he would do, they would say, oh, this is wag the dog tail.
He's trying to. That was the Balkans, too. That was the Balkans.
Yeah, but the Balkans, right.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm wondering
people
that
people who think that that's a whole other subject. And of course, things had gotten very unbalanced there. There were a lot of civilians dying. And, but I know plenty of people who will make a case to you that we intervened there. And I'm not saying it was wrong because I, as a humanitarian, I can't be against something that likely saved many innocent lives. But in terms of the geopolitics, I know plenty of people who believe that we intervened in a war that was, the Serbs had Russian backing and that they were fighting, albeit perhaps not very tenderly or with respect for the Geneva Conventions, but they were fighting a necessary war, some people believe, because the KLA was going into Serbian churches and massacring priests and conducting terrorist operations and then running to hide among civilians in, Bosnia. You know, that even though that conflict became very, very, it was a very bloody thing, it was a very ugly thing, that some of what was happening there was in response to attacks by fanatical Muslims of the KLA, and that America jumped in. And yes, we put a stop to it. But I know people who believe that Russia did not appreciate that, you know, so-called intervention, because they were fighting their own enemy that, you know, albeit maybe they didn't prosecute that war the way America would or the way Israel would, with exquisite attempt at concern for every civilian life, but that they were fighting a war and we acted like, you know, it was a completely unprovoked thing that they were engaged in. And even though, you know, they were excessive in their force, perhaps, no doubt they were. That there was more to that story than what the American people were told. So, you know, to your point, I mean, I'm not saying I believe that exactly. I mean, I do think there was more to it. I think that, you know, Clinton may have had multiple motivations for that intervention, you know, and it, you know, may have been a good thing in the big picture because of the lives saved. But some people believe that that there was some damage done to the relationship with Russia that has continued, that from Putin's point of view, this was his hemisphere, his side of the world, an enemy that he was fighting, albeit in his, you know, strong arm, heavy handed way, but that we wound up messing around, you know, in Russia's conflict, you know, and that there's still anger about that to this day. And that, you know, that's perhaps all the more reason, if we can avoid this, to avoid it.
But it is dangerous if he is using this as a distraction. And as I said, I still think that we have to also look at, is this happening also to protect Hunter Biden's interest? And why are people aren't questioning that? I mean, we're finding out what we learned the other day that I think it's Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley received information from the CIA that they had been asking for quite some time of the travel log of Hunter Biden and Joe going to Ukraine and trying to hide it. Why was this information redacted? Why wasn't this information out there? And Republicans should be pushing on this nonstop. I mean, we're marching to war and we have China that's looking at Taiwan. We have the Olympics that are right up on us. No one is saying anything about it. No one is saying anything about COVID. Why isn't Dr. Fauci talking about COVID there? Why isn't he saying, oh, the Olympians should stay inside? We shouldn't go there. Why are we sending our children to the origins of the COVID virus? Why are we doing that? Why is we have all these distractions that are going on and no one is focusing on what really matters? What are Republicans doing? Here, you have it right here in your hands. And you can raise the issues. We know that the media isn't going to talk about it. They're going to keep quiet as it's kept. China doesn't want us to talk about it. So everyone is focusing on, we're going to go to Ukraine and protect their borders while our borders are just completely blown up. And then you have President Xi, who's getting ready to welcome the Americans to the Olympics, where COVID took place. And he's telling them, you better not say anything ill about China, because if you do, meanwhile, Taiwan is saying, oh my God, what's going to happen to us? This president is not ready. He is not fit to lead, and his administration isn't fit to do the bidding for the American people. 2022 cannot get here soon enough, but when it does, Republicans must be ready to lead. They must have an agenda. They must have goals to say, this is what we're going to do to take this country back. Because what I'm looking at right now, it does not look good at all.
Well said. And it seems obvious to me that the reason they gave Hunter Biden all that money is they're buying influence. They weren't giving him millions of dollars because he's the world's greatest businessman. I think it was clear reason why they gave Hunter Biden that money. And why isn't anyone asking those questions, particularly the GOP? Thank you so much to our guest, New York Post journalist Heather Robinson, for joining us. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you download your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.